Okay, this is David Greenwald, and today I'm speaking with Coaching Club member Liz Nelson from Australia. Liz, how are you today?
Great, Dave.
Well, it's the evening here in beautiful Dixon, Illinois in the United States, and it's what time there in Australia?
It's 11:30 in the morning.
Well, 13-hour difference there, 15-hour difference.
That's right.
So it's actually tomorrow there, so that's always interesting whenever we've had to converse, and you even did a boot camp with me, but we'll get into that in a little bit later as far as doing all the time zone differences. But why don't you just do us a favor and just tell us a little bit about yourself. We know you're Liz Nelson and you're from Australia, but what do you do? How old are you? How tall are you? Tell us a little bit about your family. Just give us a little insight into who Liz Nelson is.
Okay. I'm 37 years old. I am a mother to two gorgeous girls, and they're married to husband Steve for the last 10 years. In my previous life, before I became a mother, I was qualified as a pharmacist and then as an exercise physiologist. So I've done a fair bit of study. I'm 5'5", and
And there we are.
Yeah, there we are.
That's it. We've summed up your life in 30 seconds. We're good to go.
Excellent.
So when did you find the Leanness Lifestyle Program?
I was actually on the firm Yaya's website, and I came across a journal by the name of Kathy G. And I read Kathy G's journal, in which she mentioned Leanness Lifestyle and the boot camps that she did with you. And I thought, wow, that just makes complete sense. She's a normal individual who loves exercise and loves training and seems to be really switched on with eating properly and training and tying it all together. And so my interest was piqued.
Excellent.
And I saw her journal.
Yeah, it's, you know, and it's very common for people to find us through other boards and other programs and things. But that's great. And of course, Kathy is a great member, as you know, and I would imagine you two have kept in good contact even since you've been a member.
Yes, we're good friends.
Now, so what is your history like then with weight? You're 37 now, married, two girls, and tell us a little bit about your history with weight. You know, take us from, well, you could take us from the graduation of high school till now, and, you know, how did your pregnancies go, and how did your weight go, and what did you do, what programs have you tried between then and the beginning of 2005?
Okay. When I graduated high school, I probably was about 125 pounds and pretty much stayed within that weight range until I finished my pharmacy degree at university.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started my human movement degree and actually probably put on about 5 pounds, but I would say that was... some of that would have been muscle because I got into powerlifting while I was doing human movements. And when I got married was when I actually started to slowly gain weight. And I know that's a very common thing. My husband can eat almost anything he likes and not gain an ounce, and I was trying to keep up with him and not doing a very good job of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fell pregnant in 99, and all intentions of good eating and training went right out the window, and I gained about 60 to 70 pounds. I'm not exactly sure what I weighed, but I would say it would have been around the 200-pound mark. And when I had Sarah, who was my first daughter, I had a really rough pregnancy, and I had a rough delivery, and I had complications after the birth, and surprise, surprise, I didn't lose weight as quickly or as I thought I would. In fact, I didn't lose it at all, and I thought, what the hell am I going to do? So mm-hmm. I joined Weight Watchers, and that was actually fairly successful. I got down to about 140, and I thought, well, this is probably where I'm going to be for the rest of my life, and I should accept it. And then I fell pregnant with number two, and with number two, I trained all the way through my pregnancy. I was teaching classes the day I delivered, or the week I delivered, rather, and probably gained only about 20 pounds with that pregnancy, and got back to my 140 weight relatively quickly using, you know, Weight Watchers techniques and so forth, except with Weight Watchers, I continually felt hungry. I didn't have any idea about ratios or that I wasn't eating enough protein, and that you could really cheat quite a bit using the point system. And then we had a move, an interstate move, and at the same time I got glandular fever and I fell into a state of deep depression and gained a lot of weight, right up to about 187, I think, was my top weight before I joined Leanness Lifestyle. And I was so depressed, I did not know what to do with myself. I wanted to die. And then one night my husband had actually gone away overseas on a business trip, and I had been lurking around Kathy's journal, and I thought, you know, I deserve more than this. I'm actually going to do something about it. And that's when I joined Leanness Lifestyle and bought the book, and here I am.
Yeah, and here you are, exactly.
Today, yeah.
You know, one of the things you had mentioned with Weight Watchers is that, you know, it was fairly easy to cheat with the points. And one of the common things, as good as Weight Watchers can be for some people, is it's like, as long as, I don't know how many points you had to maintain, 21 or something maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, something ridiculous.
Whatever it was like, as long as you hit those points, I don't know if people are just working the system a certain way, but it seems like a lot of my clients find that as long as they can manipulate it so that the points are hit, like no matter what they're eating, they're okay, or at least that they're okay according to the program.
Yeah, I think with Weight Watchers for me was I got sick of counting points, and I thought, I'm never going to count another effing point for as long as I live. Like, and there's no way to live, and surely there is some way that you can maintain your weight and you can account for your training and not have to count points, and behave in a more normal fashion.
Well, what I find interesting is, you know, we'll bring out in a little bit here, but what I find interesting is that, of course, at least for a while, you know, a good part of the Leanness Lifestyle program is if you'll utilize the tools at Club Lifestyle, you know, there's some tremendous nutrition tracking tools that we offer that are very detail-oriented that have to do with, of course, calories, carbs, proteins, and fats. And for someone that was completely sick of counting points, I'm almost, to be honest, surprised that the very detail-oriented nature of our numbers inside Club Lifestyle with the tools that I've developed at all appeared to be remotely enticing. When you first saw that, did it kind of turn you off, or was it a good thing, and why?
Well, for me, it was a good thing because I initially, the first week or so, I was quite scared of using the tools. I thought, oh, it's out of my comfort zone. I'm going to count points and use the tools at the same time.
Okay.
I thought, that's a safe thing. And I lasted counting the points for about 4 days. And I realized as soon as I entered all of my values into the nutrition analyzer that I thought, heck, I'm eating about 70% carbohydrates, about 15% protein and 15% fat, and no wonder I feel hungry 5 minutes after I have my lunch or my dinner, or no wonder, you know, I had all of the ratios wrong, and that was a great platform for me to start changing things by learning about the nutrition analyzer and working out how to eat, basically.
Right. Well, you know, the funny thing is when you're talking about those kind of percentages, 70% carb, 15% protein, 15% fat, what always strikes me as interesting is that here in the United States, of course, I'm not sure about Australia, but a lot of dietitians and people in the medical community would stand up and applaud your 70-15-15, because the belief is that, you know, it's absolutely unnecessary to have any protein above 15%. And since protein isn't the primary energy source for everyday fuel and activities, it's ridiculous, it's hard on the kidneys, it's dangerous, and all this kind of stuff, even though the research is not there to support that for healthy individuals who don't have kidney problems. But in any case, it always strikes me as interesting that now you have found that, at least for you, the 70-15-15 is not a good ratio, but it always strikes me as funny that that is almost pitched as a very healthy ratio by typical medical establishment and dietitians here in the United States.
Yeah, it is the same in Australia.
Okay.
And when I was studying, I did 6 months of dietetics.
Okay.
At the end of my human movements degree, with the intention of getting a degree in nutrition, and that was drilled into us like it was dogma. So it took me a while to change my thinking to say, hey, if I have, you know, 40% of my calories coming from carbs, I'm not going to die. I'm going to be fine. I can train and I can do endurance work and, you know, I'll actually live and I'll do a good job at the same time.
Well, you know, I know that when you were searching around the firm's Yaya boards and you read Kathy's post and whatnot, and you were looking, you were, as you said, and I thank you for being open and sharing that with us, because it's very common, of course, for men or women, but, you know, women especially, it seems, to be depressed at various times, especially as it relates to, you know, these life-changing events or their weight. And so here you are, 187-ish pounds. You know, the Weight Watchers did work for you as far as getting you back down to 140. Was it just that you had said, I am never counting another point again? Because I always ask, if a program, quote, worked, unquote, for you in the past, I always wonder, why didn't you just go back to it? So was it just that you had said, I'm not doing points, and you meant it, and that's it? Or why do you think you didn't go back to Weight Watchers then?
I think I couldn't relate to the philosophy of Weight Watchers in regards to training, and that no one else that was doing Weight Watchers was serious about anything athletic.
Okay.
And I guess I found myself falling away because there weren't people in that establishment that were like myself and were interested in fitness.
Right, understood.
It was all about, let's go for a walk so we can eat more points and
right.
That type of situation, which I didn't ever really relate to.
Okay. Well, and it makes sense, too, when you hear that, you know, when you were going for your exercise physiology degree, you were doing some powerlifting. I mean, that means that you were doing some fairly serious lifting, which would be very, I'm not going to say unheard of, but pretty uncommon for people that are typically following Weight Watchers.
Yeah, that's right.
So when you first found Leanest Lifestyle, was that in about January of 2005?
Yes, it was.
And I remember looking at, you know, especially recently, going all the way back and looking at some of your initial entries on weight. And you were in the mid-180s when you first logged into Club Lifestyle. Is that about right?
Yeah, that's right. I lost 4 pounds, I think, before I logged in initially.
Mm-hmm. And there you were. So what size clothes were you wearing on your 5'5 frame back then? And, you know, what were you wearing on a day-to-day basis?
Well, the biggest size I got into was a size of Australian size 20 pants.
Okay.
That was huge.
Yeah. I would imagine it's, I mean, I don't know that if there's a difference. Do you know if there's a difference between you?
Yeah, I think our Australian size 10 is equivalent to a US 6.
Oh, you're
a okay. US 24? No, hang on, a US...
Maybe a 16 or a...
Yeah, US 16.
Something like that.
Yeah.
So, okay, so January of 05, 187-ish, logging in for the first time around 183. Take us through this, well, it's April of 2006 now, so take us through these 15, 16 months. Just brief, you know, just kind of give us the Cliff Notes version of, I mean, was it just a linear drop? What did you participate in? How did you stay involved within the program? How did you keep your interest, you know, moving forward?
I initially started off by training at home and using my heart rate monitor to make sure that those exercise minutes I was getting in were countable. And then I thought, it's time to get serious. It's time to go back to the gym. So I rejoined our gym that was closest to me, and I didn't tell anyone, of course. I was an exercise physiologist. I went and kept a very low profile, but every time I went in and trained, I just trained like there was no tomorrow. And for the first month or so, I really felt like things weren't changing an awful lot, but I knew that if I persisted, that eventually things would have to start moving, which is what happened. The first probably 6 to 8 weeks, I don't feel I lost a heck of a lot of weight, but it was probably more a time of settling in and a time for me to say, I'm learning this, I'm prepared to sort of step back and take advice and learn how to do this properly, because I can see that in the long run, this is, you know, what is going to actually work for me at the end and today and where I'm at now. And I took the time to sort of journal about how I was feeling about leanness lifestyle, how I was feeling about myself, why I wanted to lose the weight, why I wanted to train hard, why I wanted to live a different lifestyle. Every time I'd log in, I'd remind myself of those things. And I also kept a concurrent journal over at the Yayas, where I talked more about the emotional aspects of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of got down to around the 160 mark, and I thought, we were talking a lot about why, and I was rereading the book, and it had occurred to me that my why was different and beginning to change, and that I needed a more sort of stronger leverage to sort of see me through to 135, which was where I thought I'd end up being. I thought I'd be happy with that.
Right.
And I thought, before I had got married, I had wanted to compete in a figure competition, and my husband, who was then my fiancé, had sort of said to me, that's ridiculous. I can't stand women who look big and bulky like that and huge and, you know, just don't do that. I can't support you if you do that. And I kind of rolled over and said, okay, I won't. And then I thought, I've run 14 or 15 half marathons. I've done Olympic distance triathlons, but I need a different challenge. And so I made the public commitment that I was going to enter a figure competition in April this year. And I was as scared as hell, but I thought, I'll get it out there. And everyone in the gym, I would, you know, they would say to me, what are you doing? Why are you here? And I'd say, I'm training for a figure comp. And some people would just laugh in my face. And I'd think, fine, laugh. But, you know, a few months would pass and I'd see them again and they'd say, wow, you really are doing it. I'd say, yep. So that leverage, or having that hanging over my head that I was going to enter into that competition, really kept me going through the journey. In October of 2005, I decided to do Boot Camp 3 for some extra motivation and basically to learn more about the different aspects that are involved in losing weight and physique transformation, because for me it's more about being the journey rather than the end result. And I still feel that I'm on the journey, even though I have achieved my end result, if that makes sense.
It does. Let me go back a second though. When you were in the gym training and you were, you know, you kind of, well, You were a little bit notorious in that you told your husband that, okay, I won't. And then did he know that you were going and telling everybody in the gym that you were going to do a figure competition?
No, he had no idea. And in fact, in your book, you mentioned about the booby traps. You did a chapter of those.
Right.
And part of it was about, it's all about him or her. And I read this and I thought, yeah, that's so true. And I thought, I'm not going to actually talk to my husband about this. I'm just going to take serious action until he can no longer, you know, ignore the fact that all of this action is happening around him. And that's exactly what happened.
Well, you
sorry?
I would say you let your actions speak louder than your words. You made them speak for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now what got me in you telling this story, though, this is the first time I knew this part, as far as tying it all in with kind of where you were weight-wise, the first time you started announcing publicly that you were going to do a figure competition in April 2006, what'd you weigh?
Probably about, in the 150s.
In the 150s?
Yep.
Okay, so you're in your gym, and that's, and you had some people that are just going, oh, brother, yeah, right.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And so in October of 2005, you did Boot Camp 3.
That's right.
And that was 5 weeks. Right?
Yep, five weeks.
5 weeks. And how'd you do in boot camp?
Well, I came second out of, I think it was 28 that graduated.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd consider I did pretty well.
Yeah, outstanding.
Yeah, really enjoyed it.
And how much weight did you lose in these 5 weeks-ish?
About 9.5 pounds, I think, from memory, yeah.
Now, I want to give some credit, too, and substantial credit, for at least the training part. And I know that this person gave you great advice and guidance local to you, but at what point did you start working with a local female bodybuilder? And, you know, what role did she play in this transformation with you?
Well, she helped me with my posing and my routine. The training I did myself.
Okay.
Yeah, she would say every now and again what she felt like a bigger competitor needed. I started working with her in February.
Oh, February of 2006.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that you were working with her a little bit earlier. Okay.
Yeah. There was a lady that I did speak to in just before boot camp, and we talked about programming and so forth, but she said, you've got the nutrition down, and you just need to work more on your shoulders and your back, which is what I went to do, because she wasn't actually local to me. She was a couple of hours' drive, and then I thought, this is crazy. I can't keep going and seeing her, and, you know, I should know what to do. So I did it myself.
So you continue on. You continue moving forward. You do the boot camp in October. You lose another 9 or 10 pounds. At some point, was there, you know, even though you were telling everyone, I'm going to do a figure competition, and you're making this a public announcement, did your brain really believe you were going to do it, and did your brain realize what weight you were going to be at, or how did that all kind of come together?
I don't think I thought of what the end weight should have been, because I think if I did, I would have totally freaked out.
Yeah.
So I thought, I'm just going to keep taking it week by week.
Okay.
And, and by the time the actual figure competition arrived, I kind of thought, I can't believe I just did that.
That's funny. Yeah, we're going to get ready to announce that number in just a second. But, once you really let me know for sure that you were going to do this, and, you know, the nice thing about the digital technology is no matter where you are in the world, you were able to send me pictures here and there so I could do some analysis and whatnot. And I'll be honest, I don't remember exactly what weight I told you I thought you would be at, but where were you when you first started looking to me for me to kind of help you figure out, okay, where am I really going to end up? Where am I really going to land if I compete, or if you think I can compete?
I think I may have sent you photos at 124.
Okay.
I can't remember either, but I think it was around that weight.
Well, I do remember seeing photos of you around 135 or 140 as well.
Yep.
And at that weight, for you on a 5'5 frame, you're in a good everyday walking around, you know, healthy condition. No one in clothes would ever probably say anything to you. Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Yeah. But out of clothes, you're not going to compete at that weight, that's for sure.
Definitely not.
You know, yeah. And so there's a big difference between that. And so, but I do remember having some conversations and thinking that, and when you're dealing with someone that is 140 pounds, you have to be careful not to, like you said, overwhelm them with where they're really going to have to go to compete when you're someone like me who knows what that look is really going to take as far as a body fat. And so I know that we had talked initially about high teens or possibly 120 or 121.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, when you first heard those numbers, did it kind of freak you out, or were you just kind of like, I'll just take it a couple of pounds at a time and see where I end up?
I thought at the time I could let it freak me out, but I thought, I'm just going to nudge this weight off 1 pound at a time,
mm-hmm,
and see how I look. I think at about the 128 mark after boot camp, I freaked out a little bit because I hadn't been that weight since my pharmacy graduation days.
Right.
And I thought, everyone's going to think I'm too skinny and so forth. And then I just quietly somehow kept going. And the more I kept going, the easier it got, which was very strange. But
mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. It was great to follow. So, all right. So you took it all the way. You did compete. Tell us the contest. Tell us the date. Tell us the weight you were and your body fat for competition day. And tell us about the day and how you did.
Okay, I competed in the INBA It's a Girl Thing competition, which was in Australia, the Queensland all-female titles, and I competed in the novice figure division. I competed at 115 pounds, and I would estimate under 10% body fat because I didn't actually have anyone to measure it at the time, but just visually I'd say I was there. It was an amazing experience to be up on the stage posing and doing a routine and being in a bikini. That was probably the hardest part.
Mm-hmm.
And when I look at the photos, I think, gosh, I should have been more confident because I look fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't believe it.
And just to make sure everyone heard that number, too, it was 115 pounds, 115. And so that was that was 72 pounds since January of 2005, which was amazing. And you did look amazing. And the other thing, too, is I know you've said this to someone because everybody has, or women a lot of times that have had children, of course, are always concerned about the, we call it the, quote, baby damage, unquote. And you were talking to someone, you had said that one of your children was 10 pounds when you delivered him?
Yes, she was 10 and a half pounds.
Sarah. Wow.
Yep, and I had severe complications after the delivery. I had a C-section, and the wound that I had as a result of it broke down, and I was flat on my back for 6 months, having it treated by these nurses that would come every day, and all of these specialists shaking their heads and saying, "You have the worst abs we've ever seen. You know, you need to book in for surgery and soon." And that wasn't really an option for me, like A, the cost, and B, the risk to me with having more surgery. I react so badly to anesthetic, and my skin is poor healing, and I thought, no, I can't do it. And I guess part of my depression and gaining weight was I was shattered because of what had happened to my poor old belly.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, you certainly, you certainly took care of that with that, 10% or under body fat, and I've seen enough photos where, you know what, I would tell you straight up if I didn't think that you were very, very close within a percent or two, one way or another of that. But you know what, I can't argue. And after looking at thousands of photos over the couple of decades that I've been doing in this, and really coaching thousands of people, I can't argue with that. You really did look outstanding. Your body fat, I think, was right there, plus or minus 2% or so. And, it was outstanding. So doing that competition also qualified you for something.
Yes, it qualified me to compete at national level in October of this year in the Australian title. So that's my next goal.
That's outstanding. Now, as far as the husband, did Steve ever come around?
He told me that he didn't really like what I was doing, but he was one of the people that was cheering loudest on the actual competition evening, so I think he did.
I understand. And I understand from Steve's perspective exactly what he's saying to you, being the husband of this beautiful, incredible-bodied figure competitor. That could be a little bit disconcerting as a husband. I could see that. So, Steve, we understand, okay, buddy? I'm glad you let her do it. And I don't mean let her do it like he's your keeper, but there has to be enough approval and respect eventually, right, in a marriage?
For sure.
For it to happen. So anyway, that's what I meant by that, and so I'm really glad, and I'm really glad that he was there to support too.
Yep. No, it was good.
So,
and it was nice. Yep.
During this process, overall, as you think back on it now, what was harder than you thought it would be, or if anything, and what was easier?
What was the hardest part for me was changing my thinking about lots of different things and having some discipline and realizing that to get anywhere in life that you do need to have discipline. It's not going to come to you unless you work for it. The easiest part for me was the actual training and the exercise. I love exercise, so that was absolutely no problem. But the change in thinking was definitely the hardest.
And what was maybe easier?
The easiest part.
Oh, it was the, you said it was the training. I'm sorry.
Yeah, the training. Yeah.
Yeah, I just need to. I just needed to pick up on that. I was just focused on that first part. Okay.
Yeah.
So what about just kind of life stumbling blocks, or you know, you had 15, 16 months. So being a mom, raising two kids, being a wife, having a home, you know, issues and things come up. I would imagine it was just every day was a bed of roses, no stress.
Not exactly.
Okay. So you know, were there some, you know, were there some things that you had to overcome? Anything that, you know, someone else who looks at your picture says, well, that's all fine and well, but, you know, she doesn't work outside the home anymore, and she's got all this time, and she's got this and the other thing. And people will, unfortunately, make some negative comparisons because your life was obviously a bed of roses for 16 months, and their life is stressful and disjointed and disorganized. So anything you'd want to say to kind of straighten things out?
I've had a lot of stress going on in the last 16 months with my husband being transferred to a remote area, so we have just moved to an area where I know nobody, and there's not even really a proper gym, but I'm not even going to let that stop me from training. And I often say to people who say I don't have the time, make the time. Like, I would get up at 5 o'clock or earlier, like Coach Tom, so I could fit in my training. And I would just take that extra half an hour at the end of the day to work out, hey, what am I going to eat tomorrow? Because there were periods in that 16 months where I was at work, or somebody was sick, or all sorts of things can happen. But the thing is just to be prepared and be committed to the big picture.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep.
So life just kept on going, no matter what your other goal was fitness-wise. You still had all these other things going on related to raising a family and being pulled in many different directions as wives and mothers are.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was a typical day like for you when you started at 187 pounds food-wise? And then what was a typical day like food-wise when you were, say, 125 pounds? Any differences there?
Yes, at 187 pounds, let me think, like, breakfast would have been about three bowls of sugary cereal, whereas today I tend to eat a lot of oats and cottage cheese. At 187 pounds, I was eating a lot more processed food, a lot more white flour, basically not having a heck of a lot of energy. Today at 125 pounds, or I'm eating a lot more vegetables, a lot more fruit, a lot more unprocessed foods, and I cannot believe what a difference it makes to your entire outlook on life, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, I teach in my program that, you know, we don't worry over the littlest things that happen to us in life, and we shouldn't let everything is basically a little thing. But when it comes to the details of nutrition, it's extremely important, and that's where the online tools are helpful in kind of helping sort out that the detailed nature of what can make a difference on speeding the body fat loss, or, you know, making sure that you have enough energy to exercise properly no matter what your exercise style is. Would you agree with that as far as the nutrition side of things, that, you know, the saying is don't sweat the small stuff, but how do you not sweat the small stuff yet pay attention to the details of nutrition, because they are two very separate things? Anything you'd like to say about that?
My philosophy on the nutrition side of it and just the journey was, like, I'd say to my friends who'd say, oh, I really want to lose weight, or even members within the coaching club, I'd say, oh, just nudge it off. Don't hurry. There's no hurry. You've got, like, the rest of your life. But I'd look at what I'd be eating if I hadn't sort of elicited a loss, and I'd think, okay, I might just adjust here and there, and okay, I've done that, and I'll just keep going and maintain a positive attitude. And it sounds so simplistic, but that's sort of what worked best for me.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And no one can argue with that, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's probably more to it than that, but I'd look at my nutrition analyzer, and I'd say, oh, okay, that's looking pretty good today, and yeah, maybe, you know, you're doing an extra RPM class or teaching something, and yeah, you might need some extra carbs, so I whack them in, and you know, and the more I sort of went along with the nutrition analyzer, the more relaxed I got about my eating. Not necessarily not being precise, but I wouldn't be stressed. I'd be like, yeah, okay. I'd be cruising.
Right.
And how I, yeah, going into the competition, I was cruising.
Right.
And it was a good feeling.
Well, one of the things that, you know, I like to ask too, and I made a note here as you were describing that, because when we get into the don't sweat the small stuff, which is like, you know, you don't beat your kids with a belt for bringing home a C.
That's right.
I mean, there's different small things that, you know, the day-to-day stuff. You lock your keys in your car, you don't, you know, pull your hair out, and don't try to have it. Don't have a temper tantrum over the littlest things. Yet, on the nutrition side, you know, we get pretty detailed, and I've created tools to help, like you said, kind of help put yourself at ease a little bit, because it's all right there in front of you, and it can kind of put you on, like you said, the cruise control or the autopilot. And but with that being said, you know, during the 16 months, did you permanently give up any food that tastes good?
Yes, I did. I ended up giving up cereal, any of the processed cereal you could buy, because for me, if I had one mouthful, 1,000 would not be enough. And these are the sorts of cereals like granola, I think you guys have in the States, and Sultana Bran, and that type of thing. So I gave them up, and much to my husband's disgust, there's just, you know, Wheat Bix now and oats for breakfast, but, you know, they're dealing with that. And the other thing I gave up was baking cookies and cakes and so forth for our family, because I figure if I had a lick of the batter or the mixture, those calories didn't count, and they really did count.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to give that up.
Well, let me rephrase the question, because I think you just freaked out 80% of the people that are getting ready to start a program, no matter what
I'm
program
sorry.
That you... Now, let me rephrase it, because did you give up every tasty food for 16 months?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not. And just to clarify to anyone that may be listening, I have this firm belief that I'm not going to eat anything that I don't like. And so everything that I eat as part of my lifestyle, I absolutely love. And with the vegetables, I had to learn to love a few of them, but now I really love them, and I absolutely love what I eat. So that's not an issue for me.
Give an example, Liz, if you would, because, you know, I teach in the program that we have basically a splurge a week when we're in action. So as far as a splurge goes, something that others might relate to where they might go, oh, okay, good, at least I can still have whatever. I usually say have one splurge per week. And typically the way I teach it is it's anything you want as long as it's not a trigger, which you come into the program, I teach you what a trigger is. As long as it's not a trigger and as long as you know what it is. So with regard to that, what were some of your splurges?
My favorite splurges were chocolate ice creams, or double chocolate ice creams,
mm-hmm.
in waffle cones, which I really love.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew the nutritional value of those, so I often used those as a splurge, especially early on in the piece.
Right.
So I knew exactly what I was eating. And Indian takeaway.
What's that?
Beautiful, yeah.
Indian takeaway. You mean Indian food?
Indian food, yes.
Takeout.
Yes.
Okay. So it's in Australia, it's takeaway.
Yeah.
And it's
takeout.
It's, you know what? It sounds like a kid's game. Indian takeaway. So,
yeah.
Okay. So Indian food takeout. So you would go and pick it up, bring it home, and so yeah, that is very high fat, very high carb.
Yeah.
And so that could be a splurge. And
yeah.
Anything else?
Pizza every now and again.
Pizza. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it's important, I think, that people realize that, you know, our program isn't about giving up all of your favorite foods permanently for life, and that every week, I suggest you have something that's a splurge, And so, you know, this isn't about, even though you already liked a lot of vegetables and you've grown to love a lot of vegetables, you know, people don't have to start that way. And, you know, one of the points I was trying to make earlier is like when you are 187 and just starting to lose, you first coming into this, that, you know, that calorie deficit, that nutritional lifestyle that you were creating was likely not as tight as it is or as it has been since you were 125. True?
Yep, true.
Yeah. I mean, I'm talking about it even in, when you were first going from 187 to, say, 170 pounds. It just wasn't as tight as it was when you were 125, right?
Yep, that's absolutely spot on.
You know, and so that's the other thing that, the other point I like to make in these is that, because I definitely don't want to put words in your mouth or say anything that didn't really happen. It's, you know, when you start, you just start. You just start wherever you are. And you don't necessarily come in on day one, and I write this in the book, you don't come in on day one and say, okay, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this Dave style, leanest lifestyle, and Liz style, I got to go grilled chicken breast and broccoli.
Yeah, definitely not.
That's not going to work.
No, and what you wrote in your book about it being a continuum from, say, fried chicken to grilled chicken breast and all of the variations you can have in between that
right.
either or,
mm-hmm.
was extremely helpful to me in my journey.
Good. Well, let's, do you know, I don't know if you had any blood work or anything, but did any health parameters improve at all that you know of or no?
Well, I actually suffer from a condition called polycystic ovarian syndrome, which, is also related to insulin resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And, it also involves having a very irregular menstrual cycle and, coming on to leanness lifestyle, I've never been more regular or more healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And now when this it's abbreviated PCOS, right?
Yep, that's right.
When that flares up, how do you know?
Well, you would know if you gain weight, it flares up, you get a very irregular menstrual cycle, you get a lot of acne. You get a lot of excess hair growth, and the most amazing thing in my transformation, and that a lot of people commented, even when I'd only been doing it for a few weeks, they said, your skin looks so much better.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does look so different.
So you were a size 20 way back when, and when you're under 120 or when you're around 120, what size are you then?
I'm probably the equivalent to a U.S. size 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's amazing. What a drop.
Yeah.
What an amazing, amazing drop. Well, I mean, absolutely, you were successful. And as far as this goes, too, one other thing that, you know, I want to kind of tack onto this interview, because you did compete, is, you know, in my book, I talk about pre-contest preparation. I talk about the different strategies to dial in the last couple percent of body fat loss, or dial in the last few pounds when you're really close, and we're looking at, you know, the various aspects of really dialing in for a competition. And you had revealed to me in your final couple weeks, and you even listened to an interview that I had done regarding pre-contest preparation. Would you talk just a little bit about, you know, kind of how you felt about your preparation versus what you were seeing some others do and this kind of thing?
Well, I was continuing to follow the leanness lifestyle all the way up until the day I competed, basically, and around me I would have other people existing on asparagus and chicken breast and doing some pretty way-out stuff, basically, to try and drop their body fat. In fact, the day before the competition, I ran into a friend of mine, and she said to me, you know, what are you doing with that water bottle? She said, I started dehydrating, and this was at 3 o'clock the previous afternoon, and the competition was at 5 the next night, and I thought, wow, you know, I can't believe that you think you have to do this to come into, you know, this competition in top shape.
Right.
And I think for those people that are doing these really weird and way out things, they haven't spent the time previously sort of getting lean and they're in panic mode. But during the time I was actually preparing for it, I thought, wow, you know, I stand out like a real maverick here. Even the posing coach was saying to me, cut your carbs down to nothing, have nothing but lettuce and chicken. And I thought, no way.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt on the day I competed that I came in the best physical condition I could, and actually amongst all of the other athletes on the day, I felt that I was right up there as well. And the best part was that I didn't have to do anything extreme to get there.
And that's, of course, that always warms my heart when I hear that you were able to keep some reasonable variety, and you were able to keep water, even up until the morning of the show and so forth. And you were just able to follow it as written, you know, within incredibly tight margins, really. So that's outstanding.
Yep, and I had my splurge meal, as you suggested, on the Monday prior.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And really enjoyed it. And I think that, like, now it's been 3 or 4 weeks since the actual competition. I have just gone back to living the lifestyle. I haven't had this sense of entitlement that I'd deprived myself of all of my favorite foods and, you know, that I need to stuff my face. I've just, you know, gone back to doing what I do every day.
Yep, just back at it. Yeah, it's well, you're definitely you're smart, you're educated, you've got, you're a pharmacist, you're an exercise physiologist. That's right, isn't it?
That's right.
I heard you correctly with that, and so I think it's outstanding that you were able to work the program as I intended it, and that you had the result. You created the result, you know, that you did. One of the things I just want to ask is, you know, obviously you were successful. Anybody that sees the photos that we're going to have in the success gallery will have no doubt about that. And you're in Australia, and I'm in the United States. So how many times did I meet you in person during your loss?
Well, we didn't meet physically, I guess.
Right? All right. That's it. Yeah. That's the point. Yeah, I didn't. And right. So was I preparing your food for you? Was I shopping for you? Was I your personal trainer locally, telling you to do one more rep? Was I doing any of that?
No, absolutely not.
So in your, you know, kind of a summary, how is it that you were able to be so successful without the hand-holding of personal trainer? And, you know, how does this internet program make it easier? I'm not saying it's easy. I never say that. But how does it make it easier, and how does it help you be successful if you're not seeing a trainer in person and I'm not cooking your food or shopping for you? How does it help? How does it work?
Well, I felt I was still getting a lot of support, even though we are miles and miles away. I could just send you an email if I needed something, and you would reply straight away. And I guess I realized through doing the program that if it were to be, then it is really up to me, and that you are providing the tools to help me get there, and that no matter that I am on the other side of the world to you, is that we are all the same in our human like aspects, and we all want the same thing. So we really, you know, have more in common than you would think.
Absolutely. Could not agree more. Absolutely could not agree more. So for just 10 seconds, talk to your Australian friends who might hear this, who might be wondering if they should consider this United States plan, this United States-based company, this Dave Greenwalt thingy.
Yeah.
And here they are in Australia like you are. Obviously talk to them, but talk to anybody else who's maybe on the fence wondering if they should begin again or try again, because we, you know, we all know that most people that are going to ultimately be successful with weight loss have certainly made many, many attempts at it and have had many failures as it relates to keeping the weight off. So what would you say, just as a kind of a closing words to the person who's on the fence trying to decide if they should do something again?
Yeah, it doesn't really matter where you are. For the Aussies out there, we Aussies, you know, have been really kicking butt. We're in Leanness Lifestyle, so come and join us. And Yeah, if you have a dream and you have a goal, definitely the way to go to come and join us here on Leanness Lifestyle. It certainly changed my life for the better, and it continues to change my life for the better every day.
Well, Liz, I want to thank you for taking time out of your morning there in Australia to do this interview with me. And I know you've inspired, well, you saw the response. You had a really great response from the members on the Club Lifestyle Board. And you know, now you're going to be a part of the Success Gallery at Club Lifestyle. And I'm, you know, really thrilled with that for you. And, you know, I just want to say that congratulations, outstanding job, incredible work. It's been so much fun to follow you since you came in, you know, so heavy, and to see where you ended up and what you were able to do never ceases to amaze me. And, of course, we'll be watching and cheering you on as you go into nationals in the fall of, well, our fall. Is that your spring?
Yeah, that's our spring.
Your spring of 2006.
Yep, that's right. And I just wanted to thank you and everyone on Club Lifestyle who has supported me throughout the year. It really means a lot. And I just wanted to say thank you very sincerely.
Well, thank you, Liz, and it's been my pleasure, and we'll be watching, so keep it going, and we'll just be cheering you on all the way.
Thank you.